Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, hallelujah. Can I get a big hallelujah from my audience?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. I really, really appreciate all their support for coming every time that they can and being behind me in the sound room. I really appreciate it. I thank y'all so much for listening tonight. I'm your host, Sister Ashley, Mama, Mother, Jennifer, hallelujah. Welcome to the show. Daughters of Zion, welcome to the show. Bless you all. I hope you're all encouraged. I hope you're running, growing, never giving up. I hope you're changing. I hope you're being delivered from negative thoughts, habitual sins, irrational feelings, and all the such like. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Sound checks. Give me some tens if you hear me. Shalom, everyone. I see your hallelujahs and your shaloms in the chat room. Thank y'all for your chat room participation. You're always welcome to post questions or any dialogue. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Let's get a sound check from you.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Bless you all, Daughters of Zion. It's really good to hear the voices of the listening audience there. I pray that everyone can hear me. I'm still in the process of trying to pull up the chat. I'm getting a maintenance page here. That's what it says on my end. But at any rate, we're all doing well here in Georgia. I pray everyone is doing well, and we appreciate you tuning in. I pray that you can hear me. And Sister Ashley, I hear you very well, and I think we can move forward whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. Tonight we talk about deliverance and demons, and of course when we talk about something like that, we have things happen. Mother Jennifer's printer is not working. It'll work tomorrow. My keyboard wasn't working. It'll work just fine tomorrow. But bless y'all. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Let's all acknowledge the Most High Yah with a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
All praises to our King, our soon-coming King. I thank him so much. I considered the verse this week where he spoke to Moshe. He said he brought the people out into the wilderness to prove them and to test them, which, of course, we may often forget that you are being proven, you are being tested at all times. But the purpose and the very next sentence in the line in that communication in the word was so that you would not sin against me. And so I most definitely hope that you all are increasing your fear of him. I hope that you are not blinded by the sin that is manifest around us. Hallelujah. I praise him for people who desire to be holy, though they're few. I'm glad to be a part of the remnant. I praise him for the beautiful weather we've had this week, the fellowship. I praise him for the sisters that have been added to the community. I really, really appreciate their hands and their spirits. We have four of them. And, man, it's just wonderful. It's really, really wonderful. And I want to praise my husband for all he does. He has really quick, immediate obedience in his nature towards, you know, the phone calls he needs to make, towards the commands that are given to him from, you know, any elder or pastor. He has a really, really good example of how he submits. And he'll stop everything and all things just to do what he's been asked to do. He's always been that way. A man with no guile. Shout out to my husband. I really also want to thank Pastor Dow. My thank you does not mean half as much as the many, 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 many thank yous that all of you would want to give him, the handshakes, the hugs, or the greetings that you would want to give him. You may not have the opportunity. So I pray that my thank you represents all of us that is in my heart when I speak to him or to his family. So thank you from me and from everyone that's listening to our shepherd. It's a very unique season. You know, there's always a pattern. Before a man increase in knowledge and before he increase in power, he's always greatly accused. You know, it's part of the thorns in the flesh. It's part of the humbling process and the pressing down of the oppressor and the Hasatan. It's definitely, definitely a season of great accusation. And living a smaller scale but similar life myself, it is very painful, you know, to walk in the steps of the Messiah, but it's just as joyful. So as a man increasing his wisdom, he increasing his sorrow, and it's well known and seen. I can relate only as Yah allows me to relate, but I do want to give my thanks and appreciation to our pastor, to our shepherd, who experiences many things beyond any of you and any of your spiritual ability, nor will you ever face in this life. So special thanks to everyone who supports him, who supports the ministry. Thanks for the Be a Blessings. We've had a few boxes arrive. Please consider checking out the Be a Blessing video if you haven't and getting those items in as soon as your husband may allow or your pockets may allow. I thank y'all so much for your giving. We hope to receive those items before the feast so that we can scratch them off the list and we'll know what we need to purchase. 42 days to the feast. Mother Jennifer, give your acknowledgments, please.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to first acknowledge the Most High for, you know, continually keeping us through this dead season. Sister Ashley, like you said, this one is like none other. But I'm grateful to be kept. I'm grateful to still have his wisdom, his discernment, his mercy, and his grace. I'm so thankful that he has given us ears to hear, a heart to receive. You know, on our own, we would not be able to even comprehend or understand his word, or even have a heart to receive what he is imparting or saying to us. I want to acknowledge our elder here, Elder Rufus, for just being such a strong, sound man of Yah, for carrying the weight of the people, you know, what he bears every day on behalf of the people, and not becoming bitter at all, but really discerning and always operating out of love. I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Terdow, for the time that he takes to pour into the people, you know, the leadership meeting, that he was able to really impart his wisdom to the men. And, you know, it really takes a leader to be able to understand that you impart to the men, that the women, it'll trickle down to the women, and the women will fall in line. The women will get better. And so it just really means a lot to have a man of Yah who truly understands the order of Yah and who loves the people of Yah. And I want to acknowledge Straightway Praise Land for hosting us all the hard work that went into taking care of everyone. You know, the level of servitude that I see in Praise Land is impeccable. It is on such a great level. And there's always such a love and a gratitude that I can see in the women and in the men that they have to just really serve. And I just want to say a special thank you, a special shout out to Straightway Praise Land. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We will have Straightway Georgia running the Chow Hall this year for the Feast of Passover. I'm excited about that. I'll be helping them and training them and pouring into them. And when you got a body of sisters that are already striving to function in one mind, you are the perfect pick. So I'm excited about that. That's new news for everyone. So if you've been a server on my team before, I won't be doing the serving schedule with the shifts this year. I'll be actually just adding a few sisters each day to help Georgia each shift until they get through their first Passover. Thank you to every group and every community that's following us, following how we do things, and then, you know, finding how it works for you and what you need to tweak along the way. Hallelujah. So any other announcements other than the 42 days to the feast?
Yeah. I cannot think of anything else, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, 879 people are already on the list. That does include males, females, and children. 879 means that it's just a few more before 900. I'm almost positive we won't make it to the cutoff date. So let me go to what Mother said. The cutoff is 900. There will be a waiting list after that 900. Elder Becker will give them a call if anyone cancels, but we can't say that anyone will cancel, you know. Sometimes when people have informed us that they are canceling and that they won't be at the feast, then Elder, this was last year at least, Elder personally called and let them know that there was an opening under that 900. That's who we are accommodating, 900, and that's who we will afford our services and our hospitality to. So I hope you called in. If you're an individual or a family off land, or even a part of any community, please make sure you have done that. Please, we're getting really close to the number, and by next week I'm almost positive we'll be topped off. Sometimes it takes just a few days to even get a couple hundred calls. So let's kick off conversation, Mother Jennifer. You ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
Oh, bless you, Brother Steve, Sister Wenda. Thank you so much. They're always faithful in their communication. We'll be out of town. Hallelujah. Logged out and someone else. Thank you very much. Private message. All right. So, y'all know the devil's a powerful force, right, audience?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The devil is a powerful force. He is a oppressor. And I'll just begin my conversation by, I'm gonna share a quote from a former witch, but if you know in our word that John heard words from the Most High to describe our time that we're living in, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12:12. He knows that he has but a short time. And we can now see that his workers are very busy throughout the earth. They are filling it with rebellion, terror, and fear, murder. And there are 10 million, if you even want to say they're all even accounted for, 10 million practicing witches in America. A former witch and a Satan worshiper named Irene Park said, "Make no mistake to think that witchcraft and its current expressions on our society are not the result of some innocent fad." So make no mistakes, not a fad. The escalation of satanic rule is not a fad. Nearly all the spreading of occult practices in America are done by people firmly in the hands of the devil, who make an exchange for power and wealth, and they fully yield their souls to Satan's work. I'm not coming from this angle tonight when we talk about deliverance, because we need deliverance from negative thoughts, feelings, you know, habitual sins. But just reflecting on Satan's power for a moment, there is a definite power structure in Satan's order. And to be able to work up the ladder of Satan's domain, a person has to really consecrate their being to evil, you know, to perform supernatural power and darkness. It doesn't matter if they're titled pastor. It doesn't matter if they're titled apostle, prophetess, witch. It doesn't matter. That one will devote their time and their study to the meditation and the power structure of Satan's order. Everything Satan offers is counterfeit for the real thing. Y'all know that, right? Yes. And if one devotes himself to the devil, then, hey, he's going to give that person power, he's going to give him wealth, he's going to give him authority. But through all that sacrifice and through all that power structure, you see the manifestation in our culture of a demoralized society going downhill fast. In many ways, you have witches, covens, satanic cults that are not actually much different than secretive sisterhoods, brotherhoods, fraternities, sororities. All of these are based on secret covenants. And here as a ministry, we do everything in the open. We come from a completely different kingdom, with the fruits being manifest in a completely different way. So with Satanists, there's no such thing as a good witch or a white witch. That's just another demonic deception. You'll know that, right? So a witch must submit not only his or her soul, body, and spirit to the devil, but they can give their family, right, if they're married, as tools and vessels of Satan as well. Just this week, you know, popping up in my recommendations on my phone, a 5-year-old boy shot and killed, put in a freezer. Another 5-year-old brutally killed in his bedroom by a machete, from a couple of teenagers roaming the street just daring each other to go kill. Right? Go in, kill the father, kill the mother, go in the room and kill the child too. In his own bedroom, his own blood. A 15-year-old boy who was mentally disabled in a Chicago bathroom was raped by another male twice in 1 week. And the school's in trouble for not reporting it, saying they're not responsible for things that go down in their bathroom. Who's behind this, right? People are now becoming spiritual and psychic captives, you know, with little chance of escape in their minds. It's been a rise in our country since what, 1960? Or always, you know? Once it was fortune telling, once it was mind reading. Now it's just blatant in your face, you know, in the schools and on the bookshelves. One 5-year-old daughter was sold out for sex. Over and over and over. She's 5 years old, sold out for sex. Now she's dead from it, and her mother's going to jail. So wrapping up this intro, we simply must discern the enemy and his power in order to overcome him, and we discern him in our lives, right? So, you know, I don't got to peer into Detroit news or Atlanta streets to find the devil when I got to find him in me, around me, or near me? What's he doing, you know? There are many demons in these mega churches and in the church period. But what do the people do? Usually they will go to a doctor to get drugs. They'll go get shock treatment. Many are in worse shape after they sought the treatment than they were before. So Satan's works have to be treated spiritually by the power of the Most High Yah. Satan's works have to be treated spiritually by the power of the Most High Yah. And the word tells us about Satan and his demons. It does. It's right there in your book that you carry. It also shows us about the armor, and it shows us about the weapons, and it shows us about the battle through Jesus Christ that we may be more than conquerors. And coming this way, you should be living out that conquering life. So many believers choose to ignore the devil, even in our assembly, thinking that we will not have to battle with him, you know, choosing a very passive approach. But the scripture says you submit yourselves to Yah, resist the devil. So what does resist look like to you? How does that word become personal to you? You know, because if you resist the devil, he will flee. Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, when you think about yourself and you think about the personal struggles that you have, and you understand and you know deliverance, you know what deliverance looks like for yourself. You know what it's like to listen and to hear the communication of these demons and these spirits that are working within you. But when you also think about the world around us, you know, Sister Ashley, you just read off a list of wickedness, you know, on another level, just a whole nother level. But when you think about what these people in this world are listening to and what they're hearing and the fact that they're not in a position to even receive deliverance, to get deliverance at all, you know, it really puts things into perspective, and it should make you really want to fight even more, fight the Hasatan within you even more, because it'll sober you up to the point where you'll discern, that could be me. If I just let myself slip and just slide, that could be me one day if I don't fight these spirits that are within me. So we can't be naive when it comes to the work of the enemy. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We've always encountered as a ministry the many, many people that disagree that there's an unseen world of demons or spiritual beings in the universe. Like, it's becoming more evident now as heaven is manifesting on earth, right? But in times past especially, there was many that disagreed that there was demons, right? And so just like they called Jesus Beelzebub, we also took words and accusations on the chin. But the scripture tells us there's a personal devil. And the way it even speaks, it says, hey, you are of your father, the devil, in John 8, you know. And First Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he's going to devour. He's seeking at all times. So you're going to have times of weakness. You're going to have times where your shield may be dented, banged up, right? You may feel so weak or so, I don't know, battle-trodden, just whatever it is, you must resist steadfast, right? Because he resists steadfast. So we got to fight both defensive and offensive war. Defensive and offensive war. Tonight we have some testimonies from Straight Lake Goshen, an up-and-coming community that is following in the footsteps of this ministry, specifically in the area of deliverance. And, you know, there's so many aspects of following Yeshua and following Pastor as he follows Jesus. You know, so many aspects as a community. There's a lot of fruits that you can bear. But in particular, we'll reflect tonight on the fruit of the deliverance and their experience. So we're actually talking to, or we're going to look into the lives of people who are in a completely different state. So you don't hear from just me right here in Tennessee with my audience behind me, or my mother who is in Georgia, but you also hear from Goshen and Straightway, Indiana. So demons do many different manifestations. And there's a lot of times that, let's see, wow, that's funny. LOL indeed from the one who sent the text, hallelujah. We just reflect on the word manifestation for a moment, okay? My sisters, there's a lot of questions about manifestations, and there's actually a lot of theory and irrational reasoning and human logic that distorts the truth of the gospel and the manifestations. If you consider what we say, if I say the word manifestation, I'm really meaning a demonic demonstration of resistance. Okay, so if someone is manifesting a spirit, it's a demonstration of resistance. So demons are going to try to do as much damage as they possibly can when they're inside you, before they ever leave you. Remember, we're deliverance ministry. We cast out demons. Okay, so let's pause on talking about manifestations for a second, Mother Jennifer, and go to spiritual authority. Because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. But he also said, go ye therefore, you know, speaking to his disciples, to walk in the very same thing. So manifestations and getting deliverance is not human logic. It's not illusion. It's not hypnotism. It's not tricking somebody. It's not staged or performed. Not here, right? Not here. If I was the enemy, of course I would set up staged performing deliverances all over the world so that it would keep you from casting me out, right? So sure, they're out there, but here, that's what we speak about. We speak about Yah's superior power and his work amongst us. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts on authority, spiritual authority, or anything else?
Yes, this is a very good point. You know, when I think about authority, I think about how important it is to understand your identity and your value in Yah. Apart from Yah, we're nothing. But in him, you have to understand who you are, who he's created you to be, what your value is, what your position is, what your role is. And once you start to understand those things, not in a prideful way at all, but once you start to understand those things, then you'll understand the authority that he's given you. You won't operate in insecurity, you know, when you're in a role or a position to help someone with deliverance. So we talk about all the time about the value of a woman, knowing your value, knowing your identity. And once you understand these things, then you can operate in the authority that he's given you. But you understand that it's not your authority, it's the authority that he has given you. And without him, you don't have it. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Will you go to Isaiah 53 and hold it for me, Mother Jennifer? I'm going to ask you to read out of it. You bring things to mind because you can read about biblical methods of casting out demons, you know, especially in the Gospels with the Messiah, right? And if you notice, it requires zero material, zero books, zero pamphlets, right? It's just faith and belief, faith and belief. And the blood. Spiritual authority has nothing to do with a cross or a crucifix, a communion, a white wine, a red wine, a holy water. None of those things. Some of you may be new to this, and those of you who have not been new to this, you'll benefit greatly from the show tonight, too, because it'll set you free. Maybe in a sense, if you have believed anything that the enemy has said to you in your mind to keep you trapped and to keep you from going after deliverance, definitely, definitely, hopefully, you'll hear something tonight that motivates you to push past that and aggressively approach him. Remember, you know, prayer is between you and the Most High. Deliverance is you fighting against the enemy. That's completely different forces, you know. And so let's give some honor, really, to the name of Jesus by going over to Isaiah 53, because we use and come under the spiritual authority of the blood of Jesus Christ, but we don't do disgrace to the sacrifice of the Lamb and of Jesus Christ, because we also live and work out his fear. It's how we live. It's what we do. So let's give honor to our Messiah and his life for a moment. Read verse 3 through 5 for me in Isaiah 53.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
Hallelujah. All praise for the blood of the Messiah, who you saw that authority and that power of that sinless body, but you read it, I should say. We didn't see it. You can read about it. And he says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But for just for a moment, authority is the ability and the strength that you are endued. All of us are endued with authority. When you begin to walk, you turn your life from the enemy. You use his name. You have authority, right? But power and authority represent separate but compatible facets of equipping this ministry. So you have the authority, okay, and it's an extension of the Most High's authority. But the power of the Holy Spirit is an operation that you as a believer can identify, as you might say, some say, the anointing, you know. And anyone who's ever functioned under the anointing of the Holy Spirit knows that that anointing is not constant. It's not constant. Meaning, you know, it's greater at some times than others, you know, greater at some prayers than others, greater at some deliverances than others. Now, authority is constant, right? Because I can call on the name of Jesus all the time, that authority remains. But the power, it can be enhanced, and the power can come by prayer and fasting, and most definitely as a woman, through obedience. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. You know, through obedience, I think we forget that part, Sister Ashley. Our submission is key. Our submission is where we get our strength from. Our submission and our obedience is what means the most. And I think that we kind of skate past that. We forget it. We don't really, you know, we take it lightly. But when you're operating in submission and obedience, that is the greatest form of power that you're going to be able to really operate in, because the Father knows that he's going to be able to trust you because you're obedient to do whatever he is commanding you or telling you to do, and you won't abuse the power that he's given you.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Shalom, Jasmine, ZZ. Jasmine ZZ. I say ZZ, you spell it with two Z's. I see you in the chat room weekly. Thank you for your support. Jesus instructed men to freely give what they had freely received, right? And, hey, what do you got to do? You got to freely give your truth, freely give healing, freely give deliverance to others. That's what the men had to do, because they were recipients of those blessings, right? They had nothing except that which was received from their master. So we're just establishing that authority and that honor before we even speak tonight, so that you understand we're not coming across, you know, as a proud ministry. Not that we need to tear down anyone's accusations against us. We don't have to waste our time with that. But at the same time, if anyone is innocently out there trying to see these things for the first time and wade through the thoughts that the enemy is bringing to you, that's who we want to help tonight. And deliverance results in physical healing at times. Y'all experience that?
Yes.
Yes. I have an audience behind me that says yes. And most importantly for women, though, and myself, you know, is that Deliverance results in emotional healing. Right?
Yes.
Can I get a big yes?
Yes!
See? And that's where a lot of your, you know, just your strength and your confidence as a woman, it comes because of the emotional healing, you know, that we all so greatly need. And so don't be discouraged if you're not surrounded by someone that can do deliverance on you or with you, okay? You can get free with your communion and your fellowship, your praying and your fasting with the Most High Yah. You really can. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I do notice and just want to, you know, honor the Most High with the fact that deliverance fruit is growing in servitude. Deliverance fruit is literally, it makes you grow in servitude. And I think that's what makes all of us, you know, mature, because individuals who are continually aware of their own problems, they're actually unable to serve others. You know, they're, like, really stuck on self, stuck in, like, what they got going on, what happened this week and last week, what happened in the past. We just bind every spirit right now in Jesus' name, causing all these, right? Y'all hear the sound waves, right? And then sometimes I go home and it's like, man, Blog Talk was cutting up, couldn't hear nothing, just that, you know, get these reports from other people. But hallelujah, blood of Jesus be against everything worn tonight that may, you know, keep you from hearing. One of the greatest blessings of breaking the bondages within yourself is the liberty to serve others. That should be the fruit. That's what I mean by deliverance fruit is growing in servitude. That's the concrete manifestation that you got deliverance. So that's another proof text that we're working on. We're working with Yah in his kingdom, because since the body of Christ is to be a serving organism, we are. Its various members, all of us, must be free in order for us to accomplish that serving ministry. You know, to serve one another, you got to break bondage, you got to be free. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I wanted to say, you know, everyone has their personal battles, the things that, you know, that they're working on. But when you're dealing with deliverance, you learn how to lay those things aside and to not dwell on you, not dwell on yourself. You learn to lay those things aside and get yourself in a position mentally where you can be a help to someone, where you're not just dragging down the atmosphere and pulling that person deeper and deeper into, you know, the abyss that they found themselves in. You're actually able to maturely put you off, put you aside, and focus on, okay, Father, what is it that you require of me right now for this individual? So it really is a selfless act of love. Sister Ashley?
Very well said. I got a book here, Sister Alex, called The Bait of Satan. It's not a phenomenal book. It's really not. But it's just got some good key points in it. And this man says, the way you leave a church or a relationship is the way you will enter into your next church or your next relationship. Mm-hmm. The way you leave a church or a relationship is the way you will enter into your next church or relationship. Okay? So that's a really good view, because your past relationships is your scope for your future ones. And so that's how so many different minds can come into the ministry and affect it with the theory, right? Because you're coming out of a church, you're coming out of relationships, or you're coming out of a past or a background that has taught you and swayed you so differently from Yah's kingdom. But the nature of Yah's kingdom is that, hey, infirmity chains are destroyed, afflicted minds are freed, diseased bodies are loosed. It's not just a show and it's not staged, because you walk that fruit out, right? You walk that out and you're victorious. Now, whenever deliverance takes place, there's a variety of reactions. Y'all seen them, right? So some people are filled with fear and other people are in awe. Some believe, others are full of unbelief. Some give praise to the Most High Yah, others just scoff and maybe not even return. You know, so there's a typical contrast to reactions that I just explained. Some recognize, like Jesus, he's the son of David. Yeah, he's the Messiah. But then the others go, man, this man is casting out devils by the power of the devil, the prince of the devil, by the power of Beelzebub. So it's a serious matter when you have a past history in another church or with other relationships where you have religious leaders that are blind to the working of the Holy Spirit and deliverance, because they not only shut themselves off from the benefits of deliverance, but they've also influenced you or many, many others to reject a very precious benefit that we've been given by the power of the blood. So there's very large crowds of people, entire denominations, that shut out the blessings of deliverance. And that's not us. So we're just giving you a little background before we share some really powerful deliverance testimonies tonight. Mother Jennifer?
And this is why it's so important when you come this way and you get a testimony in your heart that Pastor Dow is the man of Yah, you stop listening to all the other voices that you listened to in the past. You put it in your heart to unlearn everything that you have, every false way. You want to unlearn all of those things so that you don't end up in a confused state. You don't continue to eat off other tables. Because when it comes to deliverance, I've never met another ministry, I've never seen another ministry that understands deliverance the way that Straightway understands it. So you don't want to get a bunch of confusion in your mind, making everything complicated for you. Sister Ashley?
Very well said, because a lot of people do protect themselves, and they do isolate themselves from deliverance. They always will. You have to be a very good, you have to have your own prayer life in order to even judge someone else's character. And if that's the person that you want feeding your soul. All right, some really feel safe in their very controlled environment that they've set up for themselves. And when you come into their presence, women are very, very known for this. You come into the presence of a controlling woman, you are automatically in control. You are automatically being controlled. That's how powerful it is. Just even stepping into her circle, you're under her sway. And so some believe they no longer have to confront their own character flaws, that it truly is everyone else. But their lips won't say it. And rather than facing the difficulty things like, this happened to me, this hurt, I said this, I did this, you need to move past what's been done to you and really dive into what you have done in order to truly be free. So character development is key, and that comes as you work out conflicts with others, you know, enduring with others. Hallelujah, so that you won't get lost in the cycle of offense that begins again and again and again, right? So if you walk out of offensive relationships in your past and come over to this ministry, it's not going to be any different. You're going to find exactly who offends you, right? I'm the object of many offenses, right? You can find them wherever you want to find them, in any color, in any gender you want. Your eyes, your heart, your circumstance is going to find who offends you. Mother Jennifer.
And Yah loves you enough to make it happen that way. If you have not overcome it, he's going to continue to make that present before you until you learn to overcome it, because he loves you that much. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Like I keep saying, we have some really good testimonies tonight, really good testimonies, so be greatly encouraged. I hope you've learned so far. Let's hit a ministry break, hear a song, get some water if you got to get some water, take care of your child if you got to take care of your child. We'll be right back. We'll talk about forgiveness too, okay? It's very, very important. Be right back, Mother Jennifer. Let's see where I want to go first. We'll go here. Bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. We're back. I'm Ashley. Mother Jennifer's with me. Mother Jennifer, what was on your mind during the break?
Sister Ashley, I was listening to the song that you chose, and I remember the time when the sisters here used to praise to this particular song. So there's truly one spirit, because we haven't discussed this at all.
Oh, hallelujah.
So that's what was on my mind.
beautiful, beautiful. Sometimes, y'all, remember, when I play the songs, a lot of the reasons why I don't share them is I don't want to misrepresent the ministry by what you visually see when you see the video, right? It's more enjoyable to hear a lot of the things that I play. I'm not supportive of the sight of a lot of things out there. So I just pick a little clip, play it, and this is a nice instrumental, beautiful. All right, so we're back. We're talking about, what are we talking about? Spirits, deliverance, resisting, just within, y'all heard my story about my grandmother who had came to the assembly and she witnessed for the first time deliverance, and she was out. She was coming every Shabbat for a short period of time, but the first deliverance, that took her out. Mom Jennifer.
You know, the first deliverance can be a little intimidating if you have not been exposed to deliverance before. If you don't have an understanding of what deliverance truly is, it can be a little intimidating if you don't know who you are in Yah. You know, you can, the first time I experienced deliverance, I was fearful. I was. But once I understood the power of Yah, once I understood that it's his will to set his people free, and this is the way that he's doing it, it just made it a lot easier. And, you know, you understand that you are empowered because of his blood, and you get an understanding of what deliverance is and why deliverance is and why we need it. And, you know, from that day when I started to deliverance, it just made me hungry. It made me hungry to not only for me to be free, but to see others set free as well. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Matthew 18 for a second. It says that his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay all that was due to him. Okay. Focusing on the torturers, it says, so my heavenly Father will also do unto you and to each of you from his heart if you do not forgive your brother of the trespass. So when you consider torture is an agony of the body. It's an agony of the mind. It's an affliction of pain sent to punish you, you know, to give its pleasure to you while you're not being pleased, you know. And the instigators of the torture that's mentioned in Matthew 18, of course, are demonic spirits. How else will the Father in heaven or the Master who's angry deliver you to the torturers? And the Most High Yah gives these torturers the permission. There's a whole different spiritual law than there is a natural law, right? We abide by a natural covenant law, right? You hear us quote the commandments every Sabbath. We all on earth, right, the holy righteous remnant that is, we abide by that natural law. But there's a spiritual law, too, that we're not even aware of in this flesh, what spirits can do, where they can go, where they can't go, why they obey or not, how they're passed from generation to generation. And so that permission is given to them by the Creator. Permission to inflict pain, permission to inflict agony on the body and the mind. And medical doctors and scientists, they can't figure this out, right? Just going to constantly throw you in a hamster wheel of medication. So unforgiveness, bitterness, that it's linked to any certain diseases like arthritis and cancer, they're not going to know that or say that. Many cases of mental sickness is tied to bitterness and unforgiveness. But forgiveness is for me, I'm going to give you all my personal testimony. Forgiveness has been something for me that I've really been able to shorten the time of. I mean, your forgiveness needs to be instant. Instant. So, you know, from your relationships in your church and your past, you're coming in with a very long history of, man, carrying baggage 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 days, you know, being oppressed in the hands of a torturer by your unforgiveness towards someone or something, even if you have been done wrong. Many of you may have carried something for a lifetime against a family member, for example. But what you want to do is you want to mature your forgiveness to a point where when something happens, when something is said, when something is done, because it happens to us all, you instantly forgive. And y'all remember my story when I stayed up all night sitting up in a recliner until I could produce forgiveness because I didn't have it in me. I'm literally talking to it because I feel the flesh and I feel the anger and I feel the hurt of what has been done and said, and I don't want it day after day after day after day. So I'm talking to y'all. I'm talking to y'all. You know, and that's not a requirement. That's not everybody sit up in your recliner, you know. But at least, you know, before you're even going to bed, you know, this hurt, this was said, this was done. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. You'll understand in your journey and in your battle of forgiveness, you'll understand how hard it is for the flesh to forgive. When you want to say with your lips, say it with your lips. When you want to say with your heart and your lips, I forgive. Now watch how difficult it is when unforgiveness is present with you. It's going to be difficult to say, I forgive. But you got to make yourself say it, and you got to produce it. Or what? You'll be delivered to the tortures. You have your own agony and your own pain. Your body will be your own, I mean, your life will be your own torment. Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, when it comes to forgiveness or unforgiveness, it really helps to stop and evaluate. You know, when you start to feel something that you know is not right and you start to sense and discern that you are dealing with an offense, something that's going to turn into unforgiveness, you know, you have to stop and think, okay, has this person done anything to me that requires me to forgive them, or is it just the way that I'm processing it? Is it the way that I've taken it? Have I taken this out of context? Am I choosing to be offended? You know, these are questions that you have to ask. If you catch it right away, then you don't have to go through this long, drawn-out process of getting deliverance from unforgiveness. You know, you don't have to see the unforgiveness or the bitterness manifest in your body. So you just have to stop and ask yourself these questions so that you can truly operate based on facts and not by feelings or emotions. I remember a wise woman saying one time that, you know, women will allow demons to speak on their behalf. They use your voice, you know, but you'll feel unprotected in some areas. And she said, and so you allow these spirits to speak up for you. You allow these spirits to say things on your behalf because you're hurt and you don't want to forgive. And so you just have to put it in your mind that, you know, I'm not going to let you speak for me anymore. I'm just not. I'm going to speak based on the love of Yah. I'm going to speak based on the fruit of the Spirit. But you have to stop and ask yourself those questions and operate out of facts and not out of emotion. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Very well said. Wise words. You can read, for example, in Luke 13 about a spirit of infirmity. And sometimes, you know, when you come into the ministry or no matter how long you've been here and you have something upon you, you question yourself as if, what is it, a spirit, and what's the spirit? Is it my flesh? Is it an infirmity? Is it my will? Is it a disease? You know, and all these questions. And if I could give you any bit of advice, it's to simply yearn, ask, and wait. Yearn, ask, and wait. You can't drive yourself crazy holding the responsibility of finding out all answers. You can't. You are a seeker. He is a deliverer. So there's a covenant agreement between the two of you that if you seek, he will reward. He will communicate. He will bring answers. If you don't have your answer and you're just simply waiting, then you know that you may need to be loose from a demon. You may have an infirmity or evil spirit. You may need healing or hands laid on you. You may need a huge character development or behavior change, which is 9 times out of 10 the case. And so there's a journey. There's a journey. And so there is a time where there's the laying on of hands, you know, where Jesus even laid his hands. You'll see it in Luke 13. He laid his hands on her. And this practice is found to be helpful in deliverance, although it's not always necessary. There should be no fear of getting another person's demons inside your being by laying on hands. And the word says, lay hands suddenly on no man, right? So we're wise about it. But when you're walking in authority, sometimes the fear is just too present with you. It really hinders your confidence, and it hinders your belief and your faith in the Creator. So with the woman who had an infirmity, it was caused by an evil spirit, she was bound for 18 years, unable to stand up, probably in pain, who knows. There's spirits of blindness, there's spirits of muteness, deafness, epilepsy, and fever, all those things in the Word. So what is true today, right? Tumors, seizures, high blood pressure, asthma, barrenness, cancer, diabetes, on and on. Not every disease and infirmity of the body represents a very clear-cut deliverance need. So you can't be so gung-ho about a deliverance when you haven't quite been settled by the Ruach in what direction you need to go. At the same time, let me bring balance by saying, because we as sisters on the show, Mother and I, have often said that you want to be well prepared for deliverance, you want to be ready, you want to have done your homework, this, that, and the other. Because we said it, now sisters are really not aggressive towards deliverance. Now you're thinking there needs to be so much homework and time spent in prayer and this, that, and it's keeping you from being proactive. It's keeping you from getting free. Sometimes you have to sit in that chair to find out the next step. Even if that worker and you're trusting Yah in her is telling you you're not ready, you're still sitting down. You're proactively going to get free. Right, Mother Jennifer?
Right. Yes, ma'am. Your responsibility, when you know that you are in need of deliverance, your responsibility is to sit down and trust that the workers are going to give you what you need. You know, give you the wisdom that you need. Now, you're still required to do the work, but you don't have to have everything spelled out from A to Z. You know, when you get in that chair and you're like, okay, this is what I'm dealing with, this is the root, this is where it started, we're not asking you to do all that. It's good to have an understanding, but we're not asking you to have every single answer. No, you're going to sit in that chair and you're going to put yourself at the mercy of your sister. You're going to be vulnerable. At that point, you'll share what you've learned about, you know, this particular spirit that you're dealing with, but you're going to sit and you're going to listen and you're going to wait for instruction. You don't have to have everything figured out. You just get to the chair. And I know that we talk about most of the work is done before you sit in the chair, but there's still a balance to it. And I find that people will make excuses to not even make their way to the chair. They'll say, well, I'm not ready. Well, you know, there's still some work I have to do. Well, at least sit in a chair and tell the deliverance worker, you know, I think I still need to work on this. And then you let them discern that. But still, be proactive. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. 100% of the time when I speak to someone and tell them that, you know, this is what you need to do, let me say it like this. I'm not going to use the word 100% of the time because there's quite a show going on amongst us. There really, really is. The show goes something like this. If you're told the truth and the truth really cuts and it hurts, you won't come back to that person. Many times I've, if you want to say, lost people who were coming to me for help because you now go to someone who will help you when I told you what to do and you're not doing it. You don't come back to me and say you did it, and that is
a continual revolving habitual cycle. And I don't mind because you're not wasting my time, and that's great, right? Nor will I waste yours. So we have that that goes on. Then we have, Mother Jennifer, the countless times that a woman will share with me what she was told in deliverance that is so far off, that is so misled, and so conjured up by some other woman in her mind, in her spirit, so misled in the books, sat down to get deliverance from one thing and 100 other things were called out, and now she's completely confused, getting deliverance from a manifestation and told that it wasn't a spirit, that it was just her, getting deliverance from things that are secretive and you're shouting it out loud while others are around, getting deliverance and other people foolishly acting around you. Right? So the children are playing. You have no respect for the deliverance chair. You got all sorts of noise and laughter and things going on around you. What I always say is, you have to tell me when and who it was. We have to go face this together. Because you're coming to me because you're confused. You're coming to me because you chose the wrong person. You were deceived. Honestly, there's many snares of deception. And you have to really seek out. We can't be misled. When a woman has a controlling nature and a controlling spirit about her, it'll draw you to her as if she's spiritual. But she's actually very dominating and manipulating by nature. But the information she's giving you is sounding so good, and it's pegging you, but you ain't watching her walk. Right? You're not seeing that she ain't even getting deliverance. She calling every demon that you got. So this is the problem that we continually have, and I play this cleanup game, Mother Jennifer, month after month and even year after year, going, who is this? And I know who they are, but who is this amongst us that's given themselves so wholeheartedly over to be the Holy Spirit in people's life when I'm humbly coming to you for help and you are rebuking me and you're speaking to me like a man does and you're hurting me even further, right? Telling me I don't got the Holy Spirit, telling me I got false tongues, telling me lies, and it secretly works for all these years right here at Straightway. Mother Jennifer.
The cleanup game, Sister Ashley, that is really big because, you know, there is a lot of time spent by leadership playing the cleanup game. And I just want to really put this out here. If you sense or discern that something is not right after you've received counsel or deliverance from someone and you just can't put your finger on it, you don't understand what it is, and you just need to reach out to someone that's in a high level of leadership, reach out to Sister Ashley, reach out to myself, reach out to Mother Carol, reach out to Granny Diane, and you discern. Because we don't want you to be damaged to the point to where you're going to have someone come and clean up the mess. It could take months to reverse damage that's been done, or even years based on where your mind is. But you also have to discern for yourself if someone is giving you false information. You know, remember, if you've got the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is there to lead you and to guide you. So you'll understand if something is off or if it really is the truth. If someone tells me something that just don't sound right, I go directly to Elder. And I'm like, okay, what do you think about this? And he'll be like, nope, don't sound right. And we just move forward. You know, some of you have sisters in your lives that are just really clearly responsible and mature. I have sisters like that in my life, and I'll go to them and I'll say, you know, this is what happened. What do you think about that? So reach out to someone who is much more mature and can help you discern instead of continuing to go to people that are going to give you these errors, you know, in deliverance, telling you things that are actually not true. Reach out to someone that can actually help you. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. At the same time, I understand the aspect of the Holy Spirit.
his dynamic of teaching you and placing you in certain circumstances and obviously allowing you to make choices whether right or wrong, because it's going to end up teaching you mentally and spiritually what you should do going forward. So the things that occur in your walk with deliverance or with the people that are even in your life, that's all set up by him, right? So when they, you know, those who discouraged me early on, that was my teaching tool. I needed that, right? And hopefully, y'all forbid, if I were ever used to discourage someone else, that's your teaching tool. It's how we work as a body. So you got to be quick to forgive and move on. She used the key word, move on, because there's a dynamic of spiritual growth and maturity that says, I can move on, I can forgive, right? But when you don't have the spiritual maturity, which Satan knows, he can send something so painful that'll hurt you for weeks, because he knows right where to get you. You know, so you want to make sure you close that gap. It's like, if you're not strong enough to hear what she says, just get the strength. And until you do, don't go there. You continue getting hurt, building the same relationships, you know. And then also falling into traps of conversations that are so-called spiritual that are completely far off from anything that we're taught. And you don't see the women that you should be looking at as examples amongst you, you don't see them carrying their behavior that way. You don't see them doing the same things that your so-called mentor is doing, right? So that's something to pay close attention to when you're seeking out women for deliverance, because Satan's very cunning. But a goal in deliverance, too, should be to cast a spirit out in the shortest time possible, right? But if I say that, and then I don't want you to go, oh, we should be done in 2 minutes, right? So you want to be balanced in your hearing. Like, yeah, okay, a goal in deliverance should be we're going to cast the spirit out in the shortest time possible, but you're not going to sit down and go, okay, we got 15 minutes, sister. If this shit don't go down, then we getting up. You know what I mean? There's a presentation. There's a faith and a generosity. Everybody's laughing. I'm being serious here. But seriously, they're all in the background of Jennifer. Look, if your goal is to, okay, we're going to cut this time short, right? And we're going to have it with the least possible demonstration. We're going to conserve the energy of the team, basically. And I'm going to drag it out for hours to where everybody is so tired. We're going to glorify Yah. We're going to get somewhere. We're going to get answers. We're going to know when it's gone, when the spirit's gone, or when we need to stop it. You know what I mean? But the time thing also can't be any premeditated bondage. You know, like you have a goal. Like we used to always say, it's even in the Henry Wright, is it Henry Wright? No, Richard Ng, Spiritual Warfare book. It says something like, I'm paraphrasing, if the spirit ain't moving in 15 minutes, then its legal grounds remain. So a couple of things happen. The spirit ain't moving in 15 minutes, I'm not going to continue. But when you're led by the spirit of Yah, it's not on the time clock anyway. You know that already. When you're sitting down with somebody in deliverance and you feel the presence and the wall that's not moving, you don't even know how long you've been there. You just know this ain't moving. Right? And so don't judge a deliverance by success or failure by any sort of manifestation. Well, I only cried. You know? I only cried and I only yawned a little bit. Don't judge your deliverance as successful or not by any sort of manifestation. Demons are personalities. Demons are strong-willed. They are lawless. Some are slow to respond. So if you don't feel or detect that wall, that this spirit is not moving, you got to really, really be discerning your spirit versus it, right? So warfare is putting pressure on the enemy, and you got to manifest true faith and be persistent and active in your life and in your walk as a servant of Christ to grow more and more in your authority and your power and in your discernment. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
And you know, another thing, you cannot, it's very unwise to compare yourself to someone else's deliverance. You know, you may have witnessed someone else's deliverance and they manifested a certain way and they got really good deliverance, and you might think to yourself, well, if I don't manifest exactly that same way, then that means I did not get deliverance. That's not true. Definitely. Or you might think that if you manifested a certain way, You know, say you have a violent manifestation, then you might think that, well, no, that's not right. That's not of Yah. I must be faking something. That's not true. So you can't compare yourself to somebody else's manifestation, somebody else's deliverance. You get what is meant for you to receive. Sister Ashley.
Yes, and if you're ever even walking by or in the area of a deliverance, don't open yourself up to the communication that could go down, like, she ain't ready. She faking it. That's taking too, like, don't even listen to that communication. That spirit's playing off of your weak mind, right? Because you're not even a part of the deliverance. So remember, a manifestation is a demonstration of resistance. That could be many different things. Demons going to try to do damage. So they could throw you down. They could contort your body. You could be stricken with great pain, left with weakness. Even when it's gone, you feel the weak area. You know, your muscles are weak for the next 2-3 days. There's coughing, retching, burping, yawning. There's phlegm that comes up, blood that comes up, vomit. Some even laugh. One religious spirit even shouted hallelujah to the top of his lungs until it was out. Religious spirit now. Hand signals that can help you. Spirits in the word, y'all. In the word, spirits cried out. In the word, they cry out with a loud voice. In the word, they thrown each other down into the fire. Now, you know a man ain't throwing his flesh into the fire. That's not something a man would do, right? All inspired by a demon. So you can't go, you can't look at someone's manifestation and judge by any stretch of imagination what you believe their freedom is going to be. That puts you in an antichrist seat. It really does. So be careful when you walk by stuff. Even if, hey, it's a sister that's offended at you and you're offended at her and you got malice and ill will and you believe she does too, get out of the area. Get out of the area because it's going to plague your mind. You're going to hear accusations and you just don't need that. You need to be dealing with it in your own private time. And Mark 1:26, can we go there, Mother Jennifer, Mark 1:26? I do want to say that there is a yielding to the manifestation that has to happen. Some people will feel the need to scream. Well, you need to. At the same time, it's not a show, right? So you feel the need to yield yourself to the spirit that's manifesting, so you can't hold it back or you won't get free. You can hold it back, right? You can hold back a demonic manifestation. Sure you can. Mark 1, let's see what it says. Mark 1:23, Mother Jennifer, can you read 1:23 all the way to 1:27?
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of Yah." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For which authority commandeth he even the unclean spirit, and they do obey him?"
Hallelujah. So before we read the testimonies tonight that we have, even from Goshen, and I have another one via email, Mother Jennifer's going to read for us. We're going to reflect on Mark really quick. This Mark, you can go read Mark 1:21 all the way to 28, and you can kind of understand some of the highlights that I wanted to bring out. So the demon is using the man's vocal cords. It's not the man. So when it says the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, that voice was this demon's ability to control the man's vocal cords, okay? Demons also identify Jesus as the Holy One of God. That means they speak using this man's vocal cords. The demons can say, speak, or cry out. when it spoke, it said, what have we to do? That means we is more than one. Is that correct? That's plural, as we say in the English language. What have we to do with you, you son of God? I dropped something. Hold on. Are you, meaning to Jesus, the demon still speaking, are you here to torment us? Once again, us, more than one. Are you here to torment us? They did not say that until he said, he rebuked him after the spirit spoke and cried out the first time, leave us alone. What are we to do with you, right? You come to destroy us? He rebukes him. Basically, what we would say, shut up and come out, demon. He said, hold thy peace, come out. Right? But the objective that I wanted to bring out in deliverance is not to get a demon to speak to you. The objective of deliverance is not to get a demon to speak to you. It is to cast it out. That's the objective. So the objective is not to conversate and go back and forth with a demon. You can antagonize a demon, and it can speak. It will speak. It will speak often. Basically, you just always resume your spiritual authority saying, come out. Jesus even said in one account, what is your name? Now, this is Mark 5:9 if you want to check it out. He said, what is your name? So if Jesus says, demon, what is your name? Is it because he doesn't know it? Absolutely not, right? It's because I know that if I antagonize you, you're going to lose power. If I make you tell on yourself, you're going to lose power. So there's nothing wrong with antagonizing, you know, what got you here, demon? What's your name, demon? But I'm not initiating a conversation. Evil spirits will lie. They want to tire you out and make you listen and prolong a deliverance because we're stupid. Really. So pay attention to those objectives, really just being led by Yah. You don't want to walk by a deliverance where you hear someone antagonizing and you hear a demon speaking back and then you be critical or judgmental in your mind as if it's a show. Like you just, as someone who is a viewer, it's best to keep your mind completely away because you welcome more spirits into the atmosphere that those who are working in deliverance can sense. When you're entertaining things in your mind, it can be sensed by the deliverance workers. Okay? And remember, let me go on that objective, Mother Jennifer. Let me jump to you with that deliverance is not to get a demon to speak out. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a dangerous place to be in when you are more interested in hearing what these demons have to say instead of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, instead of discerning what the Holy Spirit is really impressing upon your heart. You know, when the goal is to hear demons talk, you've gone to a whole nother place that you don't need to be. So remember that we are the deliverance workers, and Yah is the one who delivers. So we have to be open to hear the deliverer, not the demons, because, you know, they're not going to always tell you the truth. They're created to lie. So why would we want to hear what they have? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Another objective during deliverance is not to remove all, many, or every demon. So just so you know, because some of these things are just not known. This is not like, you know, anything personal or anybody in our minds or coming against or anything. This is literally like you learning these things for the first time. And knowing that, oh, okay, a demon's going to speak. Got it. I don't got to listen and talk back. I'm just casting it out. Another objective. I don't got to remove an entire list. You know, a lot of people will bring an entire list because they're bringing a hungry desire to be free from an entire list, right? But you want to kind of isolate it, and you want to do it in kindness, you know? You never want to send them away discouraged. And you want to focus on, what's the real torment, right? If you're looking at this piece of paper and you got all this going on, what's the real torment? What can we really target today so we can start knocking this out? And mean it with all your heart. Mother Jennifer?
You know, I remember when I first learned about deliverance, and I remember showing up in the presence of Mother Carol and Sister Ashley with my list, you know, this really big, long list. And it was everything that I could think of. And I meditated on it for a whole week, and I had a huge list. And I remember Mother Carol saying, okay, we will work on some things. And, you know, she was very clear about where we would start, but she was also very clear that we're not going to deal with all of these things today. And so I think it's very important to teach the people that you're helping, you know, that we're not going to attack all these things today. Tell them where you're going to start, why you're going to start there. You know, give them a sense of hope so that they don't walk away discouraged. But don't laugh at someone when they show up with, you know, a huge book and they're like, okay, this is everything that I could think of for a whole month, and I want to get all these cast out now. At least they're showing initiative, but make sure that you communicate how this works. We're not going to deal with every single thing on this list today, right now. Sister Ashley?
Right here in a book that I have called Demons and Deliverance is by Frank Hammond. It's called a sequel to Pigs in the Parlor, so it's like part three. But this was some of my, like, just reading and reflection before the show. And this particular page, 26, Alex, says, our ministry team was conducting a group deliverance session in Switzerland, and a certain man began to forcefully strike the back of the seat that was in front of him with his fist as if it were a punching bag. As one of our counselors began to command the spirit out, the man fell to the floor, and he began to chew on the deliverance counselor's boot. After several minutes of violent struggle, the demons were expelled and the brother was set free. But upon questioning the fellow, we learned that he had been told that manifestations were necessary to his deliverance. Therefore, he had yielded to the spirits in him so as to give them permission to manifest. Okay? So I wanted to bring that out because that's another aspect. The demons are prideful in nature. They love to get the center of attention. They love to even encourage you when they're coming out to do their bad behavior. So perhaps you might have a temptation to do something that your own spirit doesn't want to do. Like, you don't want to punch Sister Bobby in the face. So what I mean is you're trying to let this manifestation happen, but you're trying not to punch your sister in the face. There's a war. So there is a tact or a self-control aspect. But at the same time, there are many times that you can't control, especially, you know, the younger you are in it, you can't control what it does or what it says, you know. So there's a lot of growth. So when you present different things like tonight's show, it can be a little overwhelming, but don't let it be. Just get free. Just get free. Satan has thousands of things in all of our minds. Could you imagine we just take our minds and dump them out and then we just read them? Like, okay, well, he told this mind that don't go to her, she's too busy. He told this mind you'll never get free from this spirit. He told this mind you're faking it. He told this mind go tell all those sisters that those manifestations aren't real so that they won't get free. You get it? There's thousands of things happening in a deliverance ministry. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
And the goal, Sister Ashley, you know, all those thoughts that you read, the goal is to get you to operate in unbelief so that the power of Yah cannot go forth. But you see the different mindsets, the different things that everyone is hearing, you know, is all different thoughts, but the goal is for unbelief to be able to operate. Sister Ashley?
Yes, yes. All right, so if you're tempted, if you're deceived, you feel deceived, you're condemned, you're pressured, you're defiled in any way, you're lawless, you're controlled, you have emotions that are sporadic or unhealthy, you are possibly, or if not 100% of the time, being controlled or ruled by a demon. You need deliverance. You just do. So now we're going to share, hallelujah, some casting out of demons experience
from Goshen, Straightway Goshen. This is my first time hearing these stories, of course. I'm in Tennessee. And just like the authority that was given to the disciples, it's been given to us as well. Paul and Silas cast a spirit of divination out of a girl in Acts 16. Now we're going to jump over here to 2022 or even 2021 when some of these things were occurring, right? And we're going to read about it. It's Bible. Y'all believe it's Bible, my sisters?
Yeah.
It's Bible. We're living it. And what's the fruit of it being the Bible? We're free. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're getting free. We're getting free. You know, question your own deliverance. You know, question your own mental oppression. You know, question your own aggressive attack against the enemy. You know, question those things. Hallelujah. Now, in particular, Mother Jennifer yesterday on the phone had said to me, do you remember, and I didn't remember, of course, until she said it, but she was like, do you remember a comment that Brother Samuel made about a deliverance that you were getting? And I was like, yeah, you know, vaguely, whatever. And she said, you know, reach out to him. And so I did. I reached out to him through his wife. Her name's Sister Ashley, too. Indiana Ashley. And he probably barely remembers it. You can tell by his story. He remembers it. But he's moved on, too. He's got his own thing going, too. Check this out, though. Mother Jennifer, you get ready to read? You got it pulled up?
Yes, ma'am. I've got it here.
Hallelujah.
Says,
I just got deliverance.
Are you ready?
I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Hold on. I just got deliverance last week with my husband. And before that, it was the week before that. And before that, it was the week before that. And before that, it was maybe a month or two ago. Or maybe sometimes there's days, weeks, and months that go by. I'm not tormented by anything that ever tormented me before. It's a journey going forward, right? So when something comes up or it's in your mind, and I'll give this story, I had actually completely stopped going to the bathroom. One or two. I was swelling, and I was having multiple symptoms out of nowhere, things that were not right. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have any thoughts with it. I didn't have any torments. I don't have anything affecting my mind's peace. I didn't know. So my husband had came home from work after, you know, multiple days of this, maybe even 2 weeks of it. I don't know. It seemed like it was an extent of time. And he was like, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's do deliverance. And the demon said, we have been sent to make you fat and torment. You understand that, sisters? I don't care if you believe or not. This is my life. It's my testimony. I don't need your belief. This was last week. I'm not giving up on my aggression towards the enemy. I had a demon say out of me just months ago, and I shared this with Brother Daniel, Sister Chris, and Goshen. Tell Daniel Muir, stop praying for Ashley. Talking about me. Tell Daniel Muir, stop praying for me. A demon said that. I don't even know Daniel Muir is praying for me. Right? Do y'all know who's praying for you?
No.
You have no clue, do you?
No idea.
No idea. And that's what it was saying as it left. And this was just, you know, a few months ago. So you don't see me out in the open. Don't think for a second. You don't see Mother Jennifer in the open. I don't even know your dynamic, Mother Jennifer. I don't even know if you get deliverance in the open or if you still even do. Maybe you can share your testimony. But for certain, I ain't giving up. I'm just as gung-ho into deliverance, helping, and getting my own as I ever was in the beginning. So don't be discouraged by the people that are old shoes that look like they ain't getting any when we're all we're very proactive. We really are. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, feel free to read, if you don't mind, that very first greeting from Brother Samuel, and then share your own words. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. He says, I don't recall which feast it was, but we were still in the old tabernacle. I was walking by after service ended, and I saw Sister Ashley getting deliverance. The manifestation was quite strong, and it surprised me based on my mind at that time. I've learned from Shepherd Dow never to judge the success of a deliverance session by the strength of the manifestation, but by the level of growth seen in yourself or others afterwards. One thing I have noticed in deliverance over the years is that For some things, the manifestations do not happen as severely, particularly if the person is constantly striving to stay clean. It doesn't allow demons to set up shop in them because they are quickly eradicated when they are discovered by the Holy Spirit. This is obviously not a general rule, just an observation, because as you dig in deliverance, there are some seriously deep-rooted things that come up no matter how long you have been fighting Satan. So to see Sister Ashley going after something that manifested quite strongly, when I say strongly, I simply mean that I could discern it, that the spirit was either powerful or it had a good grip on her at one point. Not necessarily that the physical manifestation was strong. That encouraged me to see that she was not resting on her laurels or allowing Satan to puff up her mind to think that she was fine after so many years of servitude to the Most High. This was quite edifying to me because it helped embolden me never to slack on deliverance, never slack on getting clean. And as much as it is an inconvenience to the flesh and painful to see yourself in a wicked state when Yah shows you yourself, to never allow that to stop fighting against Satan's kingdom, no matter how long you've been fighting. It helped me to see that there is no discharge in this war and that we got to keep pressing until we see him one day and receive that penny. Luke 17:10, the scriptures version. So you, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Sister
Amen.
Ashley?
Mother Jennifer, I would love to know, do you still get deliverance?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley, I do. And, you know, I don't just have one person that I go to. There, I have capable women here in Straightway, Georgia, and I do rely on them. I know how to open up and be vulnerable to them. You know, sometimes I might have to speak with Elder Rufus to get to the root of what I'm dealing with, and then I'll go to the sisters for help with deliverance. I've even gone to, I remember my daughter Tia was 16 years old, and I remember sitting and telling her, hey, I need you to help me with deliverance. And she did, and I got set free. But if I know that someone is confident in deliverance, I know that they're striving and they're living holy, and they can help me, then I'm going to go to them. Now, some things are very private, and you know, there are some things that there are certain people that you need to go to if it's a very, very private matter. So you have to understand that. You just can't go to anyone. But definitely, I have gotten deliverance before. You know, we all live under one roof at one point, and people could hear my manifestations during deliverance. And I never let it stop me because I just wanted to be set free. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to read a deliverance testimony from a beloved sister in the ministry. It was her first time being here on the land for a feast day. And then we'll hit a music break and we'll be back with some awesome testimonies. Hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. This says, Shalom to all my sisters at Straightway. I give all glory and honor to the Most High Yah. My family and I could not be where we are unless it was for him. It was our first time on the land for Tabernacles, which was beautiful to be with my true family. It was not only our first time to be on the land, but it was our first time being in a mass deliverance. All right, I say massive. During massive deliverance, I could feel the anointing in the hand of Yah. I went through deliverance myself for fear. Then Leslie, our daughter, which I asked her later via email when the keyboard was messing up. How old was Leslie? 6 years old. Okay? 6 years old. Leslie, our daughter, went through deliverance herself. It was like nothing I have ever seen or experienced before. So many sisters were trying to help, but the spirit was just not budging. She was screaming, pause, So many sisters trying to help is an issue.
Yes.
Step away, get back, and get out of the way. Honestly, leave it to the two or three that are there, or just leave it to the amount of help that she needs.
Right.
If you have someone that's dragging two people, number three might be needed.
Right?
If you have someone that's just working with one person and you see nothing out of the contrary, don't go and pop down and sit.
Right.
You know, so there's just some deliverance etiquette that we have to learn. So many sisters were trying to help, but the spirit was just not budging. She was screaming, arching her back, yelling, spitting, sticking her tongue out. Mother Carol was assisting as well. Hallelujah. At one point, it was getting bad. Mother Carol asked for help from Pastor. When I turned around, I saw Pastor Corey and Pastor Dow on the ground casting the spirit out. When I was looking at Leslie's face, it twisted demonically. It scared me at first because I'd never seen anything like that before. But since, I've been delivered from fear. And I was not going to let that come in. When I looked at her again, her face twisted demonically again. Now, there's a lot of words in all caps. Y'all can imagine this experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey were not giving up. The spirit of stubbornness finally came out. Leslie looked at me and my master and started crying. And I told her, Leslie, you're free. She started crying and throwing her hands up in the air. Get the shofar ready. Throwing her hands up in the air, praising the Father, all praise to the Most High Yah for delivering my daughter. Bless the pastors and sisters and Mother Carol for all your labor of love. I felt so much love and compassion, the true love and wanting to see the saints free. There's no comparison. Yah bless straightway and Yah leading my master's household for guiding us here. We're finally home and we're worshiping the one true living Yah. I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus that he's washed us clean and bless you all, my sister. Shalom. Hit it. All right, let's hit a music break, a song called Let Love Lead. Most definitely love can lead you in deliverance. It sure can. Let love lead, all right? Be right back.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. We're back live. Bless y'all. Thanks for listening tonight. If you want to catch us live, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time every Thursday night. Thanks for the viewers, subscribers. Hallelujah, those who follow so close. Well, Jennifer, let's go back to Goshen. Let's read another account of deliverance that happened at Goshen. I wasn't there, but I believe the report. This is the life we live. Read number one, please.
Hallelujah. It says, someone came to visit and get deliverance. After fellowship, we asked, what do they need deliverance from? And they began to tell us. Upon hearing what this person said, we began to counsel with them to help them understand how Satan had been working in their lives and how they need to function to remain free in this area. Before we even got done counseling, the demons manifested in an unusual way, so we immediately started attacking them. Not knowing what demon was manifesting at the time, we commanded it to tell us its name. The demon, in a high-pitched shriek, yelled out, "Everything." I must admit, we were a little taken aback by this, rallied again to attack the demons, literally calling out everything and some of the other things that this saint was dealing with. The person received came to us afterwards and testified that they had been struggling with those demons for almost 40 years. It was wonderful to see a child of Yah get free and also to help them get free. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
There's demons that they'll tell on themselves. So as a deliverance worker, you can take those hints, you know. At the same time, you got to be leery of staying on it too long if you're not seeing any results because they're liars. Right? So that's a good example. The high-pitched shriek yells out everything, so you start saying, come out, everything, in the name of Jesus. Right? You can cast out daddy's girl. You can cast out old hag. You can cast out I feel like.
Beast.
Logic and reasoning. Ruler of the universe. You've heard that clip. A demon that says, I block ears. Come out of her ears then.
Right?
Let's go to number two, Mother Jennifer.
We have had more violent manifestations than we can count. We have seen little girls getting deliverance, tossing around three grown men. When I say little girls, I mean a 10 to 13-year-old girl that probably weighed 110 to 120 pounds soaking wet. And the demons within her were tossing around grown men, 200 pounds plus. We also learned why Shepherd instructs us to remove anything that can be used as a weapon because the demons grabbed the girl's flip-flop and began beating one of the deliverance workers with it. This was a little girl new in the faith, and she was still wearing earrings. As we were calling out spirits, the demons began clawing at her ears, almost cutting them. And she cried out, ah, they're burning me. They're burning me. We discerned it was the earrings and the scripture of Jacob commanding his household to take off their strange gods. Earrings came up. As we took them out and the demons began to scream, even the more so. But eventually, of course, they came out. While there was so much growth in the sanctification of this little girl, unfortunately, you could tell she did not really have a heart to serve Yah. This was compounded by the iniquity of her father and mother not serving Yah or getting deliverance themselves and eventually left the ministry. Sister Ashley.
Yeah, still gets the glory. It's all him. You'll see there where she said the scripture of Jacob commanding that his household take off their strange god earrings came up. When you think about that word came up, that's a word that we use amongst the ministry to say the Holy Spirit places that in your heart, in your spirit. It comes up. It reveals, like, it's in you that you say that verse to that spirit. That's what came up means. This came up.
right? So you have things coming up in your spirit as the power of the Messiah is manifest, and then they got stuff coming up in their spirit as the anointing is breaking yokes, right? Let's go to number three.
We have had stronghold deliverances to where you could feel the high level of attack and oppression this person was under. There were countless generational curses and demons that had this person completely bound. The deliverance workers spent over 3 hours warring against these demons, breaking numerous curses. The demons began speaking in the voice of an old English woman, and it was disclosed throughout the deliverance that there were witches on this woman's bloodline. The demons even screamed out at one point that they were sent there and they were not leaving. Upon hearing this, we stopped the deliverance because clearly there was more work that needed to be done before sitting in the chair. Unfortunately, the sister did not continue on in deliverance, and eventually her husband and his family left the ministry. Sister Ashley.
Next one. Let's go to number four.
Most dramatic deliverance was from a new sister at the time. It was her first time fellowshipping with us and didn't really know what deliverance was, but she knew she wanted to be set free from things that were keeping her oppressed. Because the sister was originally from another country, these spirits in her bloodline that specifically pertained to that country, such as sacrificing to idols and heavy witchcraft and occultism, which would cause the sister to easily and randomly manifest even outside of deliverance sessions. In this situation, the sister manifested very strongly with multiple sisters and brothers needing to hold her down, multiple voices speaking out of her, blood and mucus were being coughed up, hand movements, and many other things. We started going through the deliverance prayers, and we didn't even get into the second one before the demons manifested. The person's body started convulsing and moving violently as we started to call out the things this person was dealing with. The person's body went completely limp and unconscious. Hindsight being 20/20, the demons were essentially shutting down this person's mind so that we could not actually attack it. There were a few of us helping this person, so some of us kept calling out the known thing, another speaking in tongues continually, and another seeking discernment from the Holy Spirit by being quiet. Periodically, the demons would allow the person to regain consciousness, and we would begin to attack them again to no avail because the demons caused the person's body to go limp again and pass out. This happened at least 5 times before we, through the Holy Spirit, figured it out. One of us did a little research, and Yah showed us that it was something rooted in this person's bloodline and the original land their ancestors were from. We began to attack the spirit from that angle, and the demons could not stand it. The demons began speaking in false tongues, trying to tear the person's clothes off, point, and snarl at the deliverance workers. This went on for at least a couple hours before the demons were finally defeated in that battle. Once Yah showed us what the root of it was, and we broke the legal ground, tore down the layers, the person received much freedom. Being desperate for freedom from these spirits, this sister continually got deliverance regularly and was diligent in seeking more deliverance and protecting the deliverance she received. Now, this sister is completely different than when we first met her. She is still in the faith, going strong, and keeps on working towards and getting the deliverance she needs in order to be closer to Yah. What I learned from this experience is that as a deliverance worker, it is important to do your own homework, knowing more about the individual and principalities ahead of time if you can. This is so that you can have a working knowledge of certain spirits before you jump into deliverance with someone. In this case, with her having been born in a different country, specific research pertaining to her native land and practices of those people would have been beneficial to have known ahead of time so that the deliverance at that time would have been more efficient. After that, we all did more research and were better equipped to assist with her being delivered moving forward. I would like to caution the sisters to not be so eager to take counseling from anyone outside of leadership pertaining to deliverance. If the resources and knowledge about spirits are not coming from sources authorized from the ministry, then stay away from learning more about them. This happened with a sister who received counsel from individuals who were not in a leadership position and started going after these demons alone. She experienced very strong backlash and retaliation that caused her to be afflicted so much that her flesh became unwell and unstable. This was all due to some poor counsel she received about spirits that she should have not been dealing with alone. Remember, deliverance is not a game, so get wise counsel when approaching deliverance. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful. Lots of things stand out. One of them was seeking discernment from the Holy Spirit by being quiet. That's a really good tool. And if you're working with another partner in deliverance, you do often switch back and forth from the person that's leading and doing the speaking. So you want to be just as willing to be on the back burner and quiet as you're as willing to be the one casting it out. It's not about getting glory. If you feel that you have the power and you have the strength and you did all the casting out and you were successful as a deliverance worker, you opened yourself up to a lot of pride. And so there's a lot of humility. You've stolen the glory from the Most High Yah. Another thing, too, as even earlier I said, that all you need is faith and belief and you don't need a lot of pamphlets and books and all that. I, too, want to bring the balance, like this sister said, that it's also, as you grow and mature in this thing, you do realize the more knowledge that you have, as she said, it would have been very beneficial to know ahead of time the things that were, you know, specific research pertaining to this girl's native land and practices, because she would have been able to use that in deliverance. So that's most definitely a tool that we equipped ourselves with. You know, when you're diligent, looking behind stuff, researching, finding out, and digging in with these sisters, you know. But knowing that you're not the one, you know, casting out. You know, you're a free vessel. You're saying, you're using the words, but it's his power. It's his presence. It's he and he alone. So as you study, it's also, once again, not you getting brownie points, you know, not you feeling an authority over her. And I appreciate her bringing out the fact that, you know, you got to be real cautious. If there's anybody that has the trust in counsel to give anyone resources and knowledge about spirits outside of authority, we'll let you know. We're not trying to take on people onto ourselves, right? If pastor says, hey, y'all let me know if this is going on, he's not trying to take everybody under his wings. He don't need all that. What he's saying is, I need to be able to trust people in certain places to help me with that burden, right? And until then, I got to know these things. So you gotta come forth. If you're confused in deliverance, maybe you need to start, you know, ground zero. Search somebody out that's within maturity and leadership. Get you on the right road. Okay? Let's go to number five, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, can I just say before we go on to number five, I wanted to mention something about self-deliverance. There was a daughter of Zion that she was asking questions, asking me about self-deliverance, specific questions on how to do self-deliverance. And I want to say that this particular daughter of Zion had people around her who were wise and capable and very discerning when it came to deliverance, you know, and she is within a good, strong fellowship. So, and she had never received deliverance before. Someone in that particular position never received deliverance before, and you're around a strong home fellowship, you don't need to be looking into self-deliverance. You actually need to put yourself in a position to be vulnerable and to get deliverance from the strong, capable home fellowship that you have. And that was the counsel that I gave, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands there's a time and a place for self-deliverance, but self-deliverance is not out there for you to stop yourself from being vulnerable to someone else. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Especially if you deal with a lot of pride and embarrassment of getting freedom in the open, then you're probably only going to get it in the open. That's how Yah delivers you. How are you going to get deliverance behind the scenes from all the fear and the shame and the outward fears of manifestations? You're just going to stay alone and continue to manifest, right? You got to face the devil head on. Hallelujah. The strong survive this game. And it ain't a game, I should say. Let's go to number five.
Number five. As a worker, things that I have seen, bashing heads against walls, trying to run, kicking, clawing themselves, shaking heads, no, plugging ears, trying not to hear the workers. Lots of F you, she's mine, shut the F up, hissing at me, demons yelling that they've been there for years, demons saying where they came from, the mother, etc. I've seen many blood manifestations, either through the mouth, spitting, through the nose, or even vaginally. Getting deliverance the most impactful to date. Flung two sisters and had to have three others hold me down. Set free in Jesus' name. Didn't even know it was something I was dealing with. I always wondered, would have a violent or wild deliverance, and it happened so suddenly. Hallelujah for the Holy Spirit that led the sister to say what she said, and that devil left that day. Tried to fight my husband as the spirit was leaving. The spirit was in me for over 20 years, and I felt like a huge weight had been removed from my shoulders. Felt space in my body, never to be tormented or driven from that spirit again. I coughed up blood and bled through my nose a few times. When I bled through the nose after that deliverance, immediately got a powerful refill of the Holy Spirit. All praises to the Most High for his deliverance. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Sister says in the chat room, should I renounce and break and loose in the meantime until I get to a fellowship? Always remember, deliverance and warfare is you against the enemy and you against the opponent. Perchance you sit down and don't fight him at all until you meet somebody. How successful would you be in your victory? You know, if you're all alone and you got nothing but the blood, call on it. Call on it. Hallelujah. A couple things that stood out for this one was she said she always wondered, would she have a violent or wild deliverance? A lot of people do that because they have months or weeks or even years of just crying or just yawning, you know, nothing big going on. Remember, it's a temptation that the enemy puts in the minds to base your successful deliverance on what manifestation you had. And that's just his sly trickery, right? So you may or may not ever, but majority of the time as you yield yourself to him, you're going to tap into something that's going to show its strength in you. And that's why I really oppose the women and the sisters who teach the Antichrist doctrine that you should never have a violent manifestation, that you'll never get out of your chair, that you'll never hit something or drag something. You can't put nevers on deliverance. That's a lot of human logic. Human logic doesn't fit into this. All right, let's read the last thing and the last one. We'll wrap up the show.
Deliverance is available all the time here on the land. If someone needs deliverance at night when the work day is over or early morning before the work begins, there is always another sister available to help her sister be set free. Our brothers talk about and do deliverance so often that it is like part of the work schedule. We also have had many dramatic deliverances here. It always starts with the sister sitting down and gets the proper counseling from Sister Chris. From there, the deliverance workers encourage the sister to allow the manifestations to happen, meaning if you feel the need to spit, cough, yell, burp, let it all happen, the same way that pastor encourages the saint before mass deliverance is what we do here on the land. Manifesting happens all types of ways, and we have experienced many dramatic deliverances. Demons have manifested in forms like spitting up blood, on the floor convulsing, ripping off clothes, pointing to other saints saying, you, pulling off head covers, running away. We have had multiple deliverances where more than two workers were needed. There are multiple cases when Brother Daniel would step in as a spiritual head of the community, and the demons would try to stand face-to-face with him. The aftermath of these deliverances always amazes me and shows me without a doubt that it is real, and the blood of Jesus is ever-present and powerful. Once the saint who was getting delivered answers the question, who is Jesus, we immediately go into praise and worship of Yah's holy name. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. This is the same sister that told me, you see manifestations in the world all the time. The fights, the hits, the clawing, the rolling of the eyes, the clap back from a woman to a man. That's all manifesting.
Yeah.
It's all demonic expressions of resistance, right? Mm-hmm. Out of my entire experience of deliverance, early on, there was only one woman who truly was faking deliverance. To the point where, and I was new, I was 27, I'm sitting in the assembly, I'm going to roll back so y'all can see, right? You got this sister that was particularly so-called manifesting, which I think she is, because I'm new, right? Other people, they know. Everybody here already knew, like, here she goes again. So she's sitting in the seat, it's the middle of the Sabbath, pastor's preaching, and she's like, stands up and runs out the door. Right? Now, I'm in my seat like this, like, nobody else is moving, right? But I made that first instant, like, I'm about to jump up and go help her out, right? Her ass ran all the way out in the parking lot with nobody chasing her, and they just let her come back in. Like, that's the only case of faking, right, out of all these years. So it's not common. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. It's not common, so don't have that mind. That's the spirit that would just label something as fake, you know, or label something as dramatic, or label something as a show. I'm literally like, I'm thinking I need to jump up and run after this sister, and you got Vicky whose eyes are, like, permanently rolled in the back of her head at the moment. Like, here she goes again, right? And I'm thinking, okay, and pastor just keeps preaching. I'm like, what? So anyway, and that was not, you know, her only time either. But, yeah, there was more of a show in that style early on to teach us, you know, those aspects, like what's fake, what's not, this, that, and the other. There's a lot of things they experienced years even before me. They were in deliverance maybe 5 or less years, you know, before me. But hallelujah, that's the show. I got a song to play, but I'm going to go to you, Mother Jennifer, to wrap up your thoughts. Thank you for tuning in with me tonight. Bless you.
I think, Sister Ashley, we've said everything that we needed to say, and I don't have any more words. That story was sad, but actually funny. So bless you all, daughters of Zion.
Hallelujah.
Blessings to the daughters of Zion. And go ahead.
Oh, that's it. Bless you, Mother. I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much. Hey, if you want to know any of the preparation for Passover, how to make unleavened bread, you can check out Teacher Eric Robinson's page. He has one where he's making unleavened bread with his wife. This is for those of you who may not be traveling here. You want to make your own unleavened bread. You want to get the wine we get. He's got one called Preparing for Passover Spiritually. That was 2 years ago it was posted. He's got one called When's the Biblical New Year, which y'all know is coming up. And even one that's about anointing and praying over your home, if that's something that you've never done. So check out Teacher Eric's videos, Eric Robinson, Teacher Eric Robinson on YouTube. All right, we're going to end the night with beautiful children, hallelujah, singing a song to the Most High saying, take all the glory. Don't you want him to take all the glory?
Hallelujah.
Man, please do not let any of us get the glory for anything we have ever done. That's a good verse, Brother Samuel. We'll end it tonight with that same verse, man. Unprofitable, unworthy servants. Right? That's the verse. That's what we should be able to say. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Thanks for listening in. Y'all women, we'll see you again, or you'll hear me again next week. 42 days of the Passover. Get your hearts ready. Stay prayed up. Fast it up. Hallelujah. Come to be holy. Hallelujah. Here we go.
keep smiling, give me many times.